Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Krisus Daf Yud Tes. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins at the Mishnah that you will find on the 6th wide line of the Gemara. Before learning the Mishnah, let's just glance at our topic heading in the outside margin under the heading Nosei in the Gemara marking system, the Shas Ozer, which is the name of the Shas of the Gemara that appears on your screen. We offer topic headings and structural notes from time to time. Topic headings are called Nosei, and structural notes are called Mivneh. In this case, under our Nosei heading, we have written Shnei Isurim Shoinim Lefonov. There are two forbidden items in front of an individual, Ushnehem Chayvei Chatos, and both of them, if one were to consume them, he would be obligated to bring a sin offering. However, V'einu Yodea Al Ezeman Ovar, he ate one of the two, and he doesn't know which one. What happens in such a case? In other words, we're describing a situation where a person definitely was in violation of something that would be worthy of a sin offering, a korban chatos. However, he doesn't know which one he was in violation of. The Mishnah, Chelev v'noisor lufonov. Chelev is a forbidden section of a kosher type animal, but it itself is forbidden to eat. Nosar is animal meat or korban meat or possibly meal offerings that are left over beyond their allowed time. The ochal echad mehen, and he ate one of them. Both of the in these cases the person thought that what he was going to eat was mutter, as Rashi says, v'kosover shneim shuman dehetera. The Eino Yodea Ezeman Ochal. He ate one of these two pieces, not knowing which one he ate. Another case. By the way, the reason that it was important for us to add Rashi's comment of his thinking both were mutter, this was in order to create a type of shogeg situation, of an unwitting violation. If a person knew that he was going to be eating something forbidden and did it anyway, that would not be someone that's worthy of bringing a sacrifice. Sacrifices are brought when an avera was done in an unwitting fashion. Another example, ishto nido v'achoyso imoy babayis, a person's wife, but she is currently during the period of time that she's forbidden, she's a menstruant woman, and his sister. Both women are in his house, and he has intimacy with one of them. It's dark, he can't identify for whatever reason. He has intimacy with one of them. Shogag be'achas mehen, v'eino yodea be'eze mehen shogag. He had relations with one of them, but he just doesn't know which one he had relations with. He obviously thought that he was having relations with his wife and that she was in a state of ritual purity, of tahara. Case number three, Shabbos v'Yom Kippurim, v'osa melacha bein hashmashas, a case where Shabbos follows Yom Kippur, where they're one right after the other, and he does a forbidden act, constructive activity known as melacha, and he does it bein hashmashas, at the period of between the 2 days. It was the period sometimes referred to as dusk. It's a period that follows sunset immediately, and he doesn't know the Einu Debe Eze Mehen also. He doesn't know whether the melacha he did was on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur. Rabbi Eliezer Mechayev Chatas. Rabbi Eliezer takes the approach that he shall bring a Chatas, a sin offering, because either way he was guilty of something that would generate a sin offering. Rabbi Yeshua Poter. Rabbi Yeshua says he is exempt. And the reason for the exemption is quoted in the Gemara. Rashi makes a reference to it right now, and he says, the Pasuk says, Asher Chata Ba, that a sin offering is when Ad Shi Yodea Lo, or Yivoda Lo, Bameh Chata, until it's known to him in how he sinned, or in what he sinned. Just the general knowledge of having violated a type of offense that generates a sin offering is not enough. We have a new marking, the volcano shape, a trapezoid. You can see under our Mivneh heading, represent Deos, Hamasbirim, Rav Lozer, Rav Yeshua. These are Tanoim that appear in the Mishnah that explain Rav Lozer and Rav Yeshua, or they comment on Rav Lozer, Rav Yeshua. Rav Lozer, Rav Yeshua being earlier authorities than the names that appear, so these are shitos that are commenting on what the earlier Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua had said. So, Amar Rabbi Yosi, lo yinechliku, we use this squiggle underline here in the Mishnah to emphasize this expression of lo nechliku and alma nechliku, referring to what they don't argue about and what they do argue about. So, Rabbi Yosi says, lo nechliku al ha'oisem alocha bein ha'shmashe shu potter. There is no machlokes concerning a case where the malacha, where the forbidden activity between Shabbos and Yom Kippur was done at that period of time, the dusk time. And as Rabbi Yossi disagrees with what the Tanakhama said of malacha, yes, having been done bein hashmashes, he says there's no machlokes concerning that point in time. Shani Omer, because I could say miksas malacha also hayoimu miksas also lamochar. Bein hashmashes is a period in time, we can call it a bridge, where part of it might be viewed as associated with the earlier day, and the second part of it associated with the oncoming, the new day. So that it could be that the malacha that was done during Bein HaShemoshos was not a complete malacha on either Shabbos or on Yom Kippur. In other words, only partial malacha was done on Shabbos, and partial done on the part of the Bein HaShemoshos, which is Shayach to Yom Kippur. And for partial melachas, there is no sacrificial obligation. So, as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, the issue of Shabbos Yom Kippur is not a case where melacha was done during the Bein HaShemoshos period of time. Al ma nechlefu, so then what are they arguing about? Al ha'oisim melacha b'soy chayoyim. He does a forbidden activity in the middle of the day. However, v'eino yodea im b'Shabbos also im b'Yom HaKippurim also. He doesn't know whether he did it during Shabbos daytime or during Yom Kippur daytime. Oy al ha'oise v'eino yodea me'ein ezo melacha also. Or you can have a situation where he does a melacha, but he doesn't know which melacha he has done. Rabbi Lezer Mechayev Chatos. Rabbi Lezer says, listen, well, either way, he did a malacha. He just doesn't know which one. That is sufficient to obligate him in bringing a sin offering. Rabbi Yeshua Poter. Rabbi Yeshua says, if he doesn't know which malacha he did, so he will be exempt. Omar Rabbi Yehuda. Potro hoya Rabbi Yoshua af me'osham tolui. Rabbi Yoshua, who is speaking about exemption, he is exempting him not only from a sin offering, but he is exempting him as well from the osham tolui sacrifice. And osham tolui is a sacrifice that is, generally speaking, is brought when there is a doubt concerning an offense that, if known, would have generated a sin offering. So when the offense is known, one brings a sin offering. When there is doubt, one brings an osham tolui. Well, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that Rabbi Yeshua, in this case, where there is an element of doubt, but nevertheless, he is exempt even from an osham tolui. The source for this will be featured in the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, Omrim. These two people, they both carry the name Rabbi Shimon. The second one is associated as a different person, and hence, to distinguish, we see his place name is attached as well. Not only to distinguish, but wherever Rabbi Shimon appears in the Mishnayos Stam, that is a reference to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Shizuri is another individual. They say, Loi Nechluku Al, No Nechluku, once again, is a reference to Rabbi Elezer and Rabbi Yeshua. They don't have a disagreement. Al Dovor Shehu Mishem Echad Shehu Chayav. For example, if a person was standing in front of two trees that were of the same variety, two grapevines, and he just doesn't know which grapevine he picked off fruit. Now, picking off fruit is a malacha that is forbidden to do on Shabbos. Well, he did it. He pulled off a fruit. He just doesn't know which particular grapevine he picked off the grapes. So there is agreement as far as they are concerned. Rabbi Shimon's agree say that Rabbi Elezer and Rabbi Yehoshua will agree that he will be chayav. He'll have to bring a sin offering because he knows what the nature of the sin was. It's a form of harvesting, and he knows which tree, he knows which kind of tree he picked off from. Alma nechliku. When will there be a controversy between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua? Al davar shu mishum shnei shemois. When there is an element of two things with different identities. Now, when we speak about different identities, there are a variety of different possibilities, and we'll look in Rashi very shortly. But the main thing right now is this concept of shnei shemos. When there are two identities involved, Shreb Lezer Mechayev Chatos, and Rabbi Shua Poter. Now, let's look at the Rashi. Alma Nechliku, Aldavor Shehu Mishum Shnei Shemos, Kegoin, Sofek, Kotzer Sofek Tochan. There's an issue of doubt concerning what Malocha he did. Did he harvest, or did he do an act of grinding? Inami, Sofek Teinim, Sofek Anovim. Or there's doubt whether he picked off a fig or he picked off a grape. V'chein b'niskavein l'zu v'osu ezu. Likewise, where you have a situation, he intended to do an action to one thing. He intended to pick off a grape, and he ended up picking off a fig. Those are different examples of where there will be a machloikis between Rabbi Elezer and Rabbi Yeshua. The ba, dichsiv, the word ba, dichsiv, bikra, the word ba, which is a word indicating something specific. He did, the ba means in it. That word, bain ayidia, bain achatos hi. It has to do with, it applies to the knowledge, and applies to the sin. The Rabbi Yeshua, and as far as Rabbi Yeshua is concerned, ad shiskaven lachtoi bo, until there is no obligation, until his intent is with regard to a very specific item, uleis hayadia yoda b'machota, and when it becomes known that he sinned, it becomes known in what he sinned. In other words, you'll have to have these two elements. Both that he accomplished his intention, and that when it becomes known what he sinned in, and when it becomes known, it has to become known exactly what he sinned in. Rabbi Lezer, however, Rabbi Lezer, who is more broad, we'll say, in his obligation of sin offering, kevon shniskavin lidavar sheyesh bo chet, it's as long as he had kavona for something, that it has in it a sin level of chatos bringing, ule es hayedia noda lo shechoto, and when it becomes known that he sinned, sagi, that is enough to mechayev him in bringing a korban chatos. So as far as Rabbi Lezer is concerned, as long as he had intent to do something that carries it, something with it, a chatos offering, and when it becomes known, he knows that he did something that carries with it a chatos obligation, even though he doesn't know exactly in what he sinned, that is enough to obligate him to bring a korban chatos. Continuing in the Mishnah, Omar Rabbi Yehuda, afilu niskavin lilkoi te'enim velikeit anovim, even if he had an intention to harvest figs and he ended up harvesting grapes, anovim velikeit te'enim, or he intended to harvest grapes and he ended up, in fact, harvesting figs, shcharos velikeit levonos, levonos velikeit shcharos, even if it's in the same type of fruit, but one is black and one is white, Rebbe Lezer mechayev chatos, Rebbe Yeshua poter. Rebbe Lezer, consistent to what we've seen till now, even though the exact intent was not accomplished, but what was done was also chatos worthy, that's enough to mechayev a chatos, to obligate him in a sin offering. Rebbe Yeshua poter, Omar Rebbe Yehuda, Tamihani in Potar Bo Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yehuda says, I am, however, amazed. I'm personally amazed that Rabbi Yeshua would say that that would be exempt. Well, but on the other hand, there is a pasuk that Rabbi Yeshua understands to mean there must be specific knowledge. So why are you amazed? Im kein loma ne'emar asher chota ba, so then what will the role be of asher chota ba? If you're going to say the last case should carry with it obligation, so then what about the ba word? Ba meaning something specific. No, that has a different role. Prat limis asik. That will come to exclude from the realm of sin offering the case of misasik. And the misasik is a situation where a person has an intention to do something that is totally permitted and ends up doing something that is forbidden. That's a much lower level offense as opposed to the cases we've been speaking about where a person has intention to do something that does carry with it a sin offering obligation, just ends up doing something else that is also sin offering, that's also that same level of offense. Now, the Gemara, Tanya, Omar Rebbe Eliezer, Monafshach, Rebbe Eliezer, that we saw already in the Mishnah, now elaborates on his point of view. Citing the examples of the Mishnah, he says, Monafshach, either way you look at it, I chelev ochal chayav, I noisar ochal chayav. If he ate chelev, we know that there's doubt as to which one he ate, but he ate one of these two things. So whether he ate chelev, he'll be chayav in a chatos, or if he ate noisar, he'd be chayav in a chatos. So either way, he should be chayav to bring a chatos. Likewise, I ishto nido bo'al chayav, I achoso bo'al chayav. Likewise, with regard to the cases of intimacy, either way, he would be chayav a chatos offering, so he shall bring a chatos offering. I b'shabas also melocha chayav, I b'yom kippurim also melocha chayav. Omar lo Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua's response to Rabbi Lezer is, Harehu omer asher chota bo. The pasuk itself, though, limits ad sheivoda loy b'ma'achota. There is no sin offering until he knows in what specifically he sinned. So now, that having been said, the Gemara is interested in what about Rabbi Eliezer's use of that pasuk, Rabbi Eliezer, hi ba my ovid lei. What does Rabbi Eliezer do with the word ba, which indicates something specific? So, Miboyale, he uses that pasuk to tell me, prat lemisasek, that there is an exemption for the case of misasek. And as we explained before, that's a situation where he had intention to do something that would be allowed and ended up doing something that's not allowed. Now, this explanation, we must say, or must caution, is a limited explanation, because we will see later on Shitas Shmuel with regard to Misasek, which is actually includes even more cases beyond what we just explained, beyond the case of intention for heter and performing iser, for that which is forbidden. We now continue our Gemara on Amud Beis. Here the Gemara elaborates on this topic known as Misasek. And it should be pointed out that this concept of Misasek has very broad ramifications. So on the side of the Gemara, as we've now gone to Amud Beis, we have a new Nosei topic heading. You see in the upper part of the outside margin. L'hasbir ha dekotoni prat l'misasek depoter. We're here to explain what was meant when we said we are to the exclusion of the case of misasek, when excluding from the realm of chatos, obligation, depoter, meaning that it is exempt. Machloikis will see a controversy in our Gemara, a controversy between Rava and Abaye, b'mi shiskaven lachtoich esatolush, dealing with someone who had intent to do an act of cutting of something that's detached, the chotach es hamechubar b'shabbos, and he ended up cutting a plant or a vegetable that was in fact attached to the ground on Shabbos. Cutting something that is detached from the ground is totally mutter, is allowed. Cutting something from the that is attached to the ground is totally forbidden. So here we're talking about a person who had intent to do an act of cutting of something that was detached and ended up cutting something attached. Abaye chayov l'rova poter. According to Abaye, that's not the case of misasek that would be exempt. According to Rova, it is. So of course you'll ask then, according to Abaye, what is the case of misasek that is exempt? So Abaye will tell you that is a case where he has intention to do an act of picking up something that is detached, and he ends up in actuality cutting something that is attached. In other words, he is picking up, he thinks that there's a loose detached fruit and he wants to just pick it off the ground, and he ends up doing such an action, but in picking it up he ends up cutting it from its state of attachment. Let us now see the Gemara. The top line, Misasek Demai. What case, what is the case of Misasek? E dechalovim v'arayas. If he had intended, let us say, to eat something that was mutter, and in fact there was a case, there was not like the case we had before in the Mishnah, but here's a case where there were two pieces in front of him. One was actually allowed and the other one not allowed. And he intended to eat the allowed, the permissible piece. And he ended up, in actuality, eating the forbidden piece. If that is the case featured here as being exempt from a chatos, or two women, one woman being allowed and the other one not allowed, he ended up having intimacy with the forbidden woman. Well, that's not the case of Misasek that would be exempt, because these two areas of Chalovim and Arayas, he'll be obligated anyway. The Omer of Nachman of Shmuel HaMisasek B'Chalovim V'Arayas Chayov Shekei Nehne. Even though he had a perfectly justified intention, but in actuality he did something forbidden, and while doing, in the course of doing these forbidden acts, he was having physical benefit, physical pleasure from it, whether it be the eating pleasure or the intimacy pleasure. As a result of that, he is obligated, he has to, so to speak, pay for the pleasure that he had. Ela Misasek b'Shabbos poter. Rather, the case of Misasek that we are describing here as being exempt is a Misasek involving Shabbos. My time, why is a Misasek with regard to Shabbos exempt. In other words, we're talking about someone that had an intention to do a permissible act with regard to Shabbos and ends up in actuality doing something forbidden. Why is that exempt? Answer, Meleches Machsheves Osro Torah. Looking at the Rashi, Meleches Machsheves Shechoshav, he in Viniskaven, he planned and intended Lemelocha Zu Atzma. In order for someone to become obligated in the realm of Shabbos, it has to be the fulfillment or the execution of that which the person planned and intended. Why, if he carried out what he planned and intended, why in the world then would he be able to bring a chatos offering, when we speak about a chatos as being something brought when a person is shogeg, when there's unwitting? What's unwitting about someone who plans and executes that which he intended? Well, the answer to that is, the case of shogeg is he simply didn't know it was Shabbos, or he didn't know that that which he was doing was a forbidden melacha. But either way, he planned to do and he planned and executed that which he in fact did. The element of ignorance was on regarding the level of prohibition of that particular act or knowledge of the day. However, the case of misasek is that which actually took place is not that which he intended and planned to do. Hence, it is further away. It is a less serious. It's considered a minor infraction as far as Shabbos is concerned, and therefore, the case of misasek, as opposed to the case of shogeg, misasek is exempt from a sacrifice. Now, as far as misasek as being exempt, we said the case of is the case of misasek of Shabbos as opposed to chalovim v'arayas. What are more specific examples? So here we'll have a machlokas that we featured before. L'Rava, mishkachas lo, according to Rava, whose name will appear later, so we're assuming that, the Gemara is assuming that we're familiar with Rava, but L'Rava, who will appear later, mishkachas lo, you'll find a case of ptur, kagon, ptur meaning exemption from sacrifice, an actual, and we'll call this a real case of misasek, kagon shiniskavein lachtoich esatolush v'chotach esamachubar, where he intended to do an act of cutting of something that was detached, v'chotach es hamechubar. We should note, by the way, that we have here a long answer marking this teretz, because we asked a question, the case of misasek of Shabbos as being chayav, what is the case? I'm sorry, the case of misasek of Shabbos as being exempt, what is the case? So we'll need all of these lines to develop the machlokas Rava and Abaye on this topic. Hence we have this long answer marking. So according to Rava, the case of misasek that is exempt is a person that had an intention of doing a cutting action, a detaching action of something that was detached from the ground. It might very well be a person thought there was a cluster of grapes that is not attached to the original vine, and he wanted to remove a grape from the cluster, so that's an act of cutting the grape from the cluster, but thinking that it's tolush, that it's detached, and it ended up that he was picking off a grape from an attached cluster, it was still attached to the vine. Anyway, Rava says that will be exempt. And certainly, if his original intention was to pick up a grape that he thought wasn't even attached to a cluster, just to pick it up, and it ended up that he was plucking off a grape from a cluster attached to a vine, that certainly would be exempt. La'abaye mishkachas lo, Abaye's case of misasek that will be exempt, kagoin shiniskavin lahagbia es hatolosh. He thought that the grape was not attached at all to a cluster. And as he picked it up, it ended up v'chotach es hamechubar. He ended up picking up or detaching a grape from a cluster still attached to the vine. So as far as Abaye is concerned, that's the case of Misasek that will be exempt. However, as far as Abaye is concerned, if his initial intention was to detach, to do an act of detaching, not of picking up, but of detaching a grape, even though it may have been an intent of detaching from a detached cluster, that nevertheless will not be exempt. The Itmar, and now the Gemara states these opinions, again, Niskaven, a person had intent, number one, Lahagbia esatolosh v'chotach esach v'chubar, potter. He had intention of simply picking up, not doing any detaching, just picking up something that was detached, and it ended up cutting. He ended up doing another action, a cutting action from something that was attached to the ground. That is potter. My taima. Why is he exempt? The holo ichvin l'shum chetich. Had no cutting intention at the very outset. However, lachtoich esatolosh v'chotach esamechubar, he had an intention of doing an act of detaching, albeit from something detached from the ground, and he ended up cutting from something still attached to the ground. Abaye Omar chayov, do ichvin l'shum chaticha. Abaye says he will be obligated because he had a cutting intention. Rava Omar Potter, Rava says that is exempt, holo ichvin l'chaticha disura, because he didn't have an intention of a forbidden cutting. Rabbi Yossi Oimer loy nechliku v'chulei. Rabbi Yossi, if you will recall in the Mishnah, did not like the example of the Tanakama, which focused on an act done during the Bein Hashmoshos period, that period between the two holy days, between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. The reason he didn't like that is because if an act is done during Bein Hashmoshos, could very well be that he only did a half. Since Bein HaShemoshes is that bridge period, part of the Bein HaShemoshes is associated with the exiting day, and the other part of Bein HaShemoshes is associated with the entering day. So that a full activity may not have been done on either day. Rather, a partial act on one day, and the second part of the act on the incoming day. We continue in the Gemara, Tanya, Omar Lohen Rabbi Yossi, Dikdakdem Acharai. That's a source, a very brief source, and it's obscure. Rashi says, Dikdakdem Acharai, Klomar, Nitzachtuni V'kipachtuni. Those words indicate defeat and cutting me down. My Amri lay the Omar Lohem Dikdatem Acharai. What did they say to him that Rabbi Yossi responded to them with this expression of you try to cut me down? So Hochi Amru lay. Thusly they said to him. In other words, the opinion that did favor the Bein Hashmoshos explanation felt that they had a solid basis for what they were saying, that Bein Hashmoshos is a period of time that a full malacha could be done on one of the days. So what did they say to him? Hochi Amrulei, Higbia Bein Hashmoshos Mahu. During that period between Shabbos and Yom Kippur, he magbia means he picked something up from one domain, a private domain, and pulled it out from the private domain into a public domain. So that is a complete act, the act of transferring something from one domain to the other. And that could be done seemingly, we say, instantaneously. So they were saying to Rabbi Yossi, how could you describe that act? It's a forbidden act, transfer of domain. How can you say regarding that, that part was done on one day and part the other day? Omar Lohem, so upon their saying to him the issue of Higbia, or what we can call Hoitzo, Hoitzo is the official name for transferring of Rishus, of domain. Omar Lohem, he said, Dikdaktem Echa Acharai. Well, he was saying to them that you have defeated me. Well, the name Olahu, why couldn't he say to them, Miktsas Habo Hoiso Mehayoim Umiktsaso Lemochar? That in fact, even this act of Hagbo could have been part one day, part the other. And being that could have been said, so why was Rabbi Yossi saying that they defeated me, when in fact Rabbi Yossi's argument would apply to Hagbo as well? It could very well be that the initial picking up from the ground is the beginning of this act, that picking up, removing it from its initial position was done on Shabbos, and the crossing of the line and coming to rest, so to speak, of that item took place on Yom Kippur. So isn't that also a case of part one day, part the other? So the Gemara says, you know, you're right. Hachi nami ko'omar lehu. In fact, that is what Rabbi Yossi was saying. Diktaktem acharai velo helisa bietchem klum. You tried to defeat me by trying to find some very, we'll call obscure case or far-fetched case, thinking that you caught me and repudiated my stance regarding Bein HaShemashes, but you were unsuccessful. Lo Halisa Be'edchem B'Klum, you got nothing from your attempt to attack me. And as we explained before, that even regarding the case of Hoitzah, part could have been the starting of the Hotzah, of the transferal of location, started on one day, and it was completed on the other. The Gemara asks, Ulu Rabbi Yossi, Gemar Melocha L'Rebbe Eliezer, Potter. Is it so that when you have a completion of a Melocha, according to Rabbi Lezer, after all, Rabbi Yossi here is commenting on Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So are you going to say that Rabbi Lezer would say there is exemption when a completion of a melacha is done? That's not true. Ha shamano le demechayev. We know Rabbi Eliezer to hold that one is considered in violation and hence obligated to bring a sacrifice when a person is engaged in the completion of a melacha. So that even if the beginning of the melacha took place on one day, but it was completed on the next day, and we're talking, of course, about this very, very fine time frame known as Bein HaShemashes, so that even though the complete act wasn't necessarily done on one of the days, but the completion, the finishing of the act was done on one day, on one of the days, that should be sufficient. Disnan, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Ha'oireg Shloisha Chutin Betchila, Ve'echod Al Ha'orig Chayov. Rabbi Lezer says that as far as Meleches Oireg, Ariga has to do with weaving. So that weaving is considered violated if one is making let's say he's starting off a weaving process. So he would have to weave three rows of thread first. That's Batchila. In other words, the starting of the weaving process, one would not be in violation if he wove less than three strings or three threads. However, if you had something that already existed, that's called ha'orig, something that was already existed, by weaving in one thread on something that was already there, that also would be chayav, so that when you're adding or completing something that already exists, one is obligated. So that in the case of the hoitzah, even if it began on one day, but it was completed on the next day, that should be enough to mechayev him. Omar Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef explains that Rabbi Yosi Aliba de Rabbi Eliezer Hochi Masni. Rabbi Yosi's version of Rabbi Eliezer is actually a different version than that which we just saw in the Tanaic source we just quoted. What's Rabbi Yosi's version of Rabbi Eliezer? He teaches Rabbi Eliezer as follows. Rabbi Eliezer Omer ha'orig shloisha chutim betchila u'shnayim al ha'orig chayov. You see, we've dashed underline shnayim, so that we see, according to Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Eliezer is not mechayev for the mere completion of something, but rather when you have a pre-existing woven piece of material and you add to it, you will not be chayev unless you add two strings to it, not just a basic one or just one like we thought before, but you'd have to actually do two. So we can say that for simple gemar, just for the act of finishing, that is not enough to mechayev, but there is a minimum quantity required even when you're dealing with the act of finishing. Hence, Rabbi Yosi will stand his grounds that something like Hotzah, which we called before Hagbov, carrying something or transferring the location of something, where it is done during Bein HaShemoshes, it could very well be that the beginning act of Hotzah took place on one day, and the completion of it took place on the next day. When we say day, of course, just to remind you, we're not talking about big gaps in time. We're talking about fractions of a second, that bridge in time or that gap in time known as Bein HaShemoshes, the moving from one holy day into the other. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Potro Hoya Rabbi Yeshua Af Me'osham Toloi. Rabbi Yehuda mentioned that when Rabbi Yeshua speaks about exemption in the case where there was lack of knowledge, of specific knowledge, not only is there no chatos sacrifice to be brought, but there is no osham tolui sacrifice to be brought either. Tanya, Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Potro hay Rabbi Yeshua af me osham tolui. Rabbi Yeshua will say there is exemption even from the Osham Tolui sacrifice. It's, and as we mentioned already a few times, the Osham Tolui sacrifice is associated with a situation where there's an element of doubt. However, in this kind of doubt, there is no Osham Tolui brought. Here, there is doubt as to what he violated. Shinemar, the pasuk by Osham Tolui says, "Ki sechta v'lo yoda, prat loze shiyoda shechata." An Osham Tolui will be brought when a person doesn't know if he sinned. So, if a person doesn't know if he sinned, in other words, a person ate a piece of food. It might have been chelev. It might not have been chelev. After he eats it, he's informed, you know, what you ate might have been chelev. On the other hand, it might not. So he doesn't know if he sinned. That's when you bring in Osham Tolui. However, if you have a person that ate something and it was either chelev or nosar, he knows he sinned. We can't say he doesn't know if he sinned. He knows he sinned. Just doesn't know in what he sinned. That situation is not a situation where one brings an Osham Tolui. The source continues, Omar lo Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon disagrees, and he says, Zehu Shemevi Osham Tolui. He says that is a case where you bring an Oshem Tolu, Shenemar, V'osa, V'lo Yoda. V'ze, Lo Yoda, B'ma Osa. The Pasuk, as far as Reb Shimon is concerned, it says he did a sin, but he doesn't know in which thing he sinned. So then you do bring an Oshem Tolu. Aval Sofek Ochal Chelev, Sofek Loy Ochal. As far as doubt whether he ate chelev or not, say ushal olav im mevi osham toluy im lav. Regarding that case, go out and check it out whether that case is chayav in an osham toluy. My havi alav, the Gemara asks, well, what does Rabbi Shimon really hold regarding the case of sofek ochal sofek lo ochal? Toshma, so we bring another Tanaic source with the hope of showing how what Reb Shimon's opinion will be in that case as well. The source says, Chota velo yoda bima chota. That's one situation. He sinned. In other words, he definitely sinned. He just doesn't know what he sinned in. Oi, sofek chota, sofek lo chota. Or a case where he doesn't know whether he sinned at all, maybe Osham Toloi. He will bring, in both of these cases, an Osham Toloi. Now, Man Shaman Ole Do'omar Hum. Now, this source we just read has no name in it. So, in order to find out who it is, we ask, whom have we heard to say, Chota V'ein Yodua B'mai Chota Mevi Osham Toloi? Who holds that? Where, namely, a person sinned and he doesn't know in what he sinned, that he does bring an Oshem Toluy. Well, that's Reb Shimon. That's certainly not Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda said in that case, there won't be an Oshem Toluy. So, here we see that where he's Chota, the Leod Mai Chota he brings, that's Reb Shimon. V'Katoni, in the same source it says, Sofek Chota, Sofek Lo Chota, maybe Oshem Toluy. In that case, he also brings an Oshem Toluy, where there is doubt as to whether he sinned at all. He still brings an Oshem Toluy. Shema Amino. So we conclude from here, Svira Leila Reb Shimon, that Reb Shimon is of the opinion, Sofek Chota, Sofek Lo Chota, maybe Oshem Toluy. That he does bring. So that we resolved the question that was raised in the earlier Tanaic source, that he in fact brings an Osham Toli for that situation as well. Rabbi Shimon, Shizuri Rabbi Shimon Omer, Lo Nechleku. We should read that again. That's Rabbi Shimon, Shizuri Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Loi Nechleku, Vechule. We continue the Gemara after the brackets that were inserted, that we inserted based on the Shita Mikubetzes. We turn now to Shmuel's Din. Before going on with the Gemara, let us glance at our Nosei, the topic heading that accompanies this section, that we have called Dino Shel Shmuel. Shmuel's Halacha, Misasek B'chalovim V'arayas Chayov Shekei Nehene. We made an allusion to this earlier. On the second line from the top, we saw this presented. And if it looks familiar to you, you'll notice that we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, which can be aligned with the arrow that you see at the second line from the top as well. So, on our note, we are pointing this out, that Misasek B'chalovim V'arayas is Chayov Shekei Nehene. There, in the bottom line, is that he enjoyed himself. He had physical pleasure from what happened here, even though he had no intention for it at the outset. That is enough. The fact that he had the physical pleasure, he must pay for it, so to speak, by bringing a sin offering. Misasek B'Shabbos Potter. However, the case of fulfilling or accomplishing that which was not intended, when it comes to Shabbos, is exempt. Why? Meleches machsheves osro Torah. The Torah, when it speaks about the prohibitions of Shabbos, it is one is considered in violation only if what was violated was a product of his plan and intention. He'ora, we have a little note that we want to bring out. Rashi in Dibur Masel Afilu, Mevi Chiluk Bein Dinom Shel Abaye Verova, Dinami Patru B'Misasek, Ladino Shel Shmuel. Rashi points out that Rava and Abaye's approach to Misasek, their approach is different than that of Shmuel. Labayeva Rova Haptur, the exemption will be Rak Biniskavein Ludovar Hamuter, Kigon Lachtoich Tolush Vitoch Vechotach Mechubar, where the initial intention was one of permission or permissibility, and what ended up taking place was forbidden. The Shmuel, according to Shmuel, we will see Afilu Bimisasek Beisir Potter, where that which resulted was different than that which he intended, there will be exemption even if the original intention was something forbidden. So Shmuel is very lenient in his approach to Misasek, very broad, we'll say. The Gemara. Omer of Nachman Omer Shmuel, Misasek b'chalov v'arayas chayov shekei nehneh. This concept of Misasek, of someone planning for one thing and something else resulting, will be obligated if it's in the realm of Chalovim and Arayas because he had physical pleasure. Misasek b'shabes potter. Why? Meleches machsheves osur Torah. The Torah forbids only the results of a planned activity where he had intention and planned to carry out that which resulted. But if that which resulted was not that which he intended, he will be exempt. We see a new marking as far as this sugya is concerned. A triangle appears, and under our mivneh heading, you'll see on the lower part of the outside margin, you'll notice the mivneh where the triangle is featured. The triangle represents kushios al hodom ar Shmuel de misasek b'shabas poter. We'll be raising objections to that which Shmuel claimed that misasek by Shabbos is exempt. So the first question lasts a few lines. You can take note of the long question marking. There's a little kuf that we put into a triangle. And we're also calling it number one. Later there will be another question that also lasts a few lines that we'll label as question number two. In the meantime, Amale Rava L'Rav Nachman. Bearing in mind that Rav Nachman, he is the one that quoted Shmuel, so Rava poses a question to Rav Nachman. V'ha tinoikos, the case of two babies, tinoikos are babies that need to have circumcision done. One of the two babies is a, we'll call it a Shabbos baby. Circumcision is allowed to be done on Shabbos if the child was born 8 days ago, which means he was born on Shabbos the week before. Circumcision is done on Shabbos. However, a child that wasn't born on Shabbos, in other words, where Shabbos is not his eighth day of life, it is forbidden to do circumcision. So here we have a case of two children. One needs circumcision on Shabbos, and the other is samuch to Shabbos, means that was born a day. These two babies, were born a day apart from one another. So the case of tinokos, dechi misasek domi, it's like a case of misasek utnan, and we'll now learn the source that features this issue, and then develop our question. So here we have a case of misasek on Shabbos utnan. The source says as follows: Mishahoyu lo shnei tinoikos, echad lomul b'Shabbos v'echad lomul achar haShabbos. One child is to be circumcised on Shabbos, namely he was born the week before on Shabbos. V'echad lomul achar haShabbos. The other baby happened to be born on the previous Sunday, hence he is to be circumcised the day after Shabbos. V'shochachu mol es shel achar haShabbos b'Shabbos. And there was a slip-up over here, and he ended up circumcising the Sunday baby on Shabbos. Rabbi Lezer Mechayev Chatos, Rabbi Yeshua Poter. We see a Tanaic controversy, and yet the main point is that which the Gemara now says. Ad kan lo poter Rabbi Yeshua elo mishum de kosovar. Rabbi Yeshua's exemption here is very limited. It's only because he is of the opinion ta'a b'dvar mitzvah v'lo yosa mitzvah poter, where his mind was on the performance of a mitzvah, where he was concerned, he was preoccupied with fulfilling a mitzvah. He ended up not fulfilling the mitzvah because he ended up circumcising the baby a day early. That's not the mitzvah. But only because his preoccupation was with the fulfillment of a mitzvah, therefore there is exemption, even though in actuality he didn't perform the mitzvah. Aval misasek bedover delav mitzvah, but if it were some other case that's a non-mitzvah related preoccupation, for example, he intended to cut a te'ena, one fig. He intended to cut off a particular fig and ended up picking off another fig. Picking off figs has nothing to do with a mitzvah. This is Rashi's example where he says, "Bedover delav mitzvah go niskaving l'tein azu v'lokar azu." That kind of situation, the Gemara goes on to say, "Afilu Rabbi Yeshua mechayev." Even Rabbi Yeshua would say is guilty. So how can Shmuel say that Misasek B'Shabbos is Potter, such a broad statement, when we see that the Tanoim would not agree with that? Rabbi Lezer certainly would not say Potter. We see Rabbi Lezer as being Mechayev even in the case of Misasek where he's Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah is Chayev. So if it's a non-mitzvah, certainly it will be Chayev. And Rabbi Yeshua, true, he offers exemption in the case of Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah, but a non-mitzvah, Rabbi Yeshua also would be Mechayev. So where is Shmuel coming from? Omar Lois, Rav Nachman, who represents Shmuel, he answers Rava. He says as follows, Hanoch l'tinoikos. The case of tinokos, leave it be, leave it aside. In other words, the case of tinokos is not to be learned here as a source from which we should make an inference to other things. The case of tinokos you should leave aside. Hayu umekalkel b'chabura chayov, misasek b'chabura chayov. Chabura has to do with making an injury or causing blood flow. Circumcision is in effect in the realm of chabura making, of making an incision and causing blood flow. So, something very specific about chabura is, as opposed to all other melachos on Shabbos, if an act on Shabbos is of a destructive nature, there will be exemption, with the exception of chabura, where a person is mekalkel, he does a destructive act, but it causes blood flow. That's called mekalkel b'chabura. That, in general, would be chayov. When it comes to the milah, only because he was taught b'dvar mitzvah and on osa mitzvah, will Rabbi Yeshua say he's potter. But you need that, we'll say, that special exemption, because you're dealing with, we'll call this a very, very serious area. It's so serious that even if it's done in a mekalkel form, it would be chayev. But we can't say that this is a standard example of misasek that we can draw any inferred conclusions. So we have thereby deflected the case of the tinokos as representing a question on Shmuel. So that, just to restate that, the case of the milo with the tinokos is a case involving chabura, the imposing of an injury, so that this is a, we'll say, as we said before, a more serious realm, and because of its intense severity, we could say that if it wasn't a case of Mila, but rather a standard case of misasek, nevertheless, this kind of misasek would carry with it a penalty, because you're misasek b'chabura, However, in general, in other areas of Misasik where it doesn't, which is much the whole rest of the realm of Shabbos, since he's Misasik, he would in fact be exempt, like Shmuel. Eisfei Rav Yehuda l'Shmuel. Once again, a question that lasts a few lines till we see it develop. The source says, Rav Yehuda Omer, Afilu miskavein l'laked te'enim v'liked anovim. Person intended to pick off figs, and he ended up picking off grapes, or anovim v'liked te'enim, or the other way around. Shchoros v'liked levonos, he intended to take off black ones, and ended up taking off white ones. Levonos v'liked shchoros, or the other way around. Rabbi Elezer mechayev chatos, Rabbi Yeshua poter. Rabbi Elezer says he is chayev a sin offering, Rabbi Yeshua exempts. V'ho hocha, de misasek hu. Here we have an example of misasek. He's intending for one thing, and something else results. Rabbi Yeshua nami lo kapotar elo min mino la mino. Rabbi Yeshua's exemption is only because he had his intention with regard to one variety and ended up doing another variety. Avo bechad mino afilu Rabbi Yeshua mechayev. But if it were within the realm of one variety, in other words, there were two clusters of grapes in front of them, and they were both black. And he intended to take off the right-hand cluster, and he ended up picking off the left-hand cluster. Well, Rabbi Yeshua would say he's chayav, even though that is also a form of misasek. But Shmuel said there is exemption. In Shmuel's initial statement, he made a very broad remark. He said, misasek b'Shabbos is potter, indicating all cases of misasek. Very, very broad statement, meaning wherever something other than that which you intended resulted would be exempt. Omar Lay. So Shmuel responds, or that's Rav Nachman in the name of Shmuel. Shinana. He says to Rava, who was raising the questions, which actually in this case, let's just correct ourselves. In this last question, it really was Rav Yehuda arguing on Shmuel or asking on Shmuel. So Omar Leh is in fact Shmuel responding here to Rav Yehuda. And he says, Shinina, which is a complimentary term meaning sharp one. You are sharp, you are smart. Shvok masnisin v'ta abasroi. Leave the simple reading of the Mishnah and follow my approach. My approach that says Misasek is Potter. What about the Tanaic source that I'm asking of you? Follow my approach to the source. Hocho b'mayaskinon, the case of the picking off of the fruits, in which we see Rabbi Elezer and Yeshua arguing, that case is different than the case of standard misasek. It's not a case of misasek, as we now explain. Kegoin, we're describing a case like Sha'ovad Malaket Milibo. They have a person who was going to harvest fruits, but he forgot. He had a memory gap or a lapse in thought. Kegoin Niskavein Lilaket Anovim. He went to to his orchard, his grove of trees, with the intention of harvesting grapes. That was his initial intention. V'shochach v'sovur te'enim bo'ino. When he reached the tree, he thought at that moment that he needs figs. V'holcho yodoi al ho'anovim. And his hand motion was such that he ended up grabbing grapes, that which in fact he initially planned to do. So he had an initial plan of getting grapes, and in the final analysis he actually took grapes, but at the time that he was doing the action, he thought he needed figs. Dereb Lezer Sovar Hare Nasta Bakoshoser. Reb Lezer, who says that case, it was the case we saw in the Tanaic source, that Reb Lezer says he's chayev. He says, look, he's chayev because bottom line, that which he really needed, he carried out. Reb Yeshua Savar, Hare lo nasta kavonosoi umachshavoso. Even though his original need was fulfilled, but his intent at the time of the action was not fulfilled. And therefore, Rabbi Yeshua says he is exempt. However, this is not a case of misasek. What is the primary difference? Because in the case of misasek, he had an initial intention for one thing and something else resulted. Here, he had an initial intention for something and it in fact resulted. Therefore, this case is a more serious case, and hence you see Rabbi Eliezer is saying that he's chayef. But a case of real misasek, where he intended one thing and a different thing resulted, something other than that which he intended, there Shmuel will tell you, all Tanoim will agree with me, that misasek b'Shabbos is in fact exempt. The points that we've been discussing in today's shiur concerning misasek are very, very fine, very detailed differences, and they make the world of difference. We highly recommend that in reviewing this Gemara, you review it with Rashi as much as possible, with an eye for detail. The sukkah itself continues till the top of the next Omid, but for our purposes, with this, we conclude our shiur for today.